Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
Hey there, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor once again that you have joined this platform, this Industrial Talk platform that features, and it does, features the women and men of industry, the women of men of manufacturing, the companies that get it done. They are bold. They are brave. They dare greatly. They're changing the world through innovation. They constantly think. That's what they constantly do. They never stop, and they never stop saying, how can we help people? That's the biggest part. They're making my lives better, and I guarantee you they're making your life better. Even if you don't notice it, they're making your life better. All right, who's in the hot seat? That's right. Her name is Susan Greeman. That's G-R-E-E-M-A-N. She is the president and principal asset management advisor, and you can only imagine with what company? Yeah, Greeman Asset Management Solutions. Guess what we're talking about? Ha! Got you on that one. We're talking about resiliency. We're talking about creating a sort of a resilient career. Yeah, asset management's at the center of it. How can you got to have that conversation before we really get into that interview. So here's a conference, right? Here's a conference called Accelerate 20. That's spelled with an X, right? So you go out to Accelerate, A-X-C-E-L-E-R-A-T-E. Put a 20 on there, and you'll say, wow, Scott, that's a virtual conference. And I'll say, yes, and it's a special virtual conference with a lot of clout. And I mean clout by the people who are participating, and one of them, of course, is Susan Greeman. And I want you to put this down on your calendar, and that is November 17th through November 19th. And you're going to go there, and because they're going to be talking about how to create a resilient business. And that is through, once again, collaboration. That is through innovation, Fluke Reliability, innovative company, innovative people, innovative solutions, education. You always got to educate. This world is moving fast. I can't believe how fast industry, manufacturing, and all aspects of industry are moving. I'm telling you, it's an exciting time. I'm enjoying it. These individuals that I get to talk to, incredible. Incredible. I'm living a dream. It's a lot of fun, and I'm soaking it all up like a doggone sponge. So anyway, once again, Accelerate 20, got to put that on your calendar. That is, once again, November 17th through November 19th. All right, they're going to be talking resiliency. They're going to be talking about how you take technology and all of the solutions within reliability and asset management and create a business of resilience. Which is what you got to do, because you want to survive, you want to rebuild, and you want to prosper in this next normal, whatever that next normal is. New normal. Let's call it new normal. Let's call it new opportunities. How about that one? New normal of opportunities. And that's where you want to be. All right, let's get on with the interview. I'm telling you, she's amazing. She brings fire. She brings excitement. She knows what she is talking about. She blew my mind, quite frankly. And she's a published author. She's passionate about reliability. She's passionate about you, helping you succeed, helping you create a resilient business. We talked about risk management, internal, external. We spoke about a number of things. Now, her website, of course, is Greeman, that's G-R-E-E-M-A-N, assetmanagement.com. And that's the name of her company. Her name is Susan Greeman. So you get it. And we're talking a little bit about what does a resilient career look like. What does it look like? Well, right now, I'll tell you what a resilient career looks like. You better be collaborating with a lot of people. You better be listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast and finding out who is on it. And you better be learning, and you better be innovative, because all that stuff is out there. You got to keep going. We depend on you. We expect you to succeed. We have to. You have to. All right. Susan Greeman in the hot seat. Laying the lumber, baby. Enjoy the interview. All right, Susan, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. I'm telling you, listeners, right now, I was so excited when she confirmed for this particular interview, because I've interviewed her in the past, and she brings the lumber. She's got a lot of pep out there. She's exciting, too.
Oh
you
my
doing?
goodness, Scott, thank you so much for having me. I'm still laughing from our last one, and that
it was fun,
probably
wasn't
2 years ago. It was fun.
Man. If you can tell in her voice, she's passionate about what she does, and she's infectious in a good way, not infectious like a COVID way.
Thank you.
Thanks. I just realized I just said, why would I use infectious in this world that we live in pandemic? No, she's not COVID. She's a good infection.
Yeah.
Whatever that looks like. All right.
But I'm really excited to be here, and thanks for having me again, and thanks for working with us to get Accelerate 2020 going.
Yes, that's an exciting event. It's virtual, and their Fluke Reliability is doing a lot to make that event really spectacular. And you, to make that happen, you're one of the keynotes.
Yeah, and I was quite pleased. And you know, when Donna reached out and asked me if I'd do it, she got on the phone actually, and I thought, well, first of all, I can't say no to Donna, I can't say no to Fluke. But it was such an interesting prospect, because then I asked her what was the theme that she was working with, and she mentioned resilience. And so I thought, okay, how about if I were to talk about building a timeless career, you know? And a timeless career is about resilience in your professional life, but that comes from something that I call self-partnership.
Self-partnership. But before, because that's great stuff. Let me just sort of, what got you to this point? Give us a little background on who Susan is. By the way, she spells her name S-U-Z-A-N-E. So don't go out there and say, Scott, I can't find her, because you're spelling her first name wrong.
Oh my goodness, I didn't even think about that as a possibility, but yes.
Oh yeah, I do, because I'm a paid professional. I'm a professional.
Thank you.
Making sure that you get the biggest bang for you. No, this is all fun. So give us a little background there, Susan, real quick.
So I'm an engineer by discipline. I've also gone through and done like my MBA, because I wanted to learn about all aspects of my professional life. So I'm into the business side of it as well. And I've done quite a bit of other asset management certification. So my line of work is asset management. I have a company, and that company delivers asset management consulting, education, and really advisory services, coaching for our clients. That's what we do. So it's along the lines of asset management. So
now,
this means,
just before I'm going to interrupt real quick, define asset management. What do you mean by that?
So what we're looking at with asset management is how we manage our assets to deliver value to our stakeholders. And it really comes down to that. If you start from the perspective of value, then you work your way back to assets that you're supposed to have. Then that dictates how you manage the assets that you have, how you look at asset turns, when are you supposed to be changing over assets, because you want to be sure that you're not spending money inappropriately, put it that way.
Especially now.
Precisely.
Better have those Hawkeyes going and making sure that you're spending the right money at the right time with on the right asset. And
exactly.
When we start talking about assets, we're talking about a pump, a valve, that thing that's is important to either your manufacturing, whatever your base, that's what we're talking about.
Right. So we're talking about, you know, you're quite right, all of those types of equipment, but you're also talking about infrastructure that you walk on, infrastructure that delivers your water, takes away your sewage. You know, we're also talking about data. We're talking about your IT network. We're talking at some point even about your human assets. We're talking about intellectual property. So it could be like a wide variety of assets that companies are looking at. So the most important thing is, if you start from a perspective of value, then every single transaction, every we call them investment decision that you're trying to make, whether it's big or small, you always examine the question of value and whether that is of best value to the organization and to its stakeholders.
It's so interesting that you bring that up. And when we start talking about asset management, some people have put on their financial hats. And I think it is a perspective of value. And I'll look at it and I'll try to simplify it, because I am not, and I repeat, you listeners out there, I'm not as smart as Susan. So I always have to simplify down to
the real.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So
you've been well cautioned to remember that every time you say something funny, remember how much I my capability to laugh is tremendous. So matter. Just remember that's, that.
That's why I'm doing it. Most definitely. So I look at it this way. Two things. Is it something that's going to make me money or save me money? Right. And I can throw in safety and I can do all of that other stuff. But really, when we start talking about what has taken place within this pandemic world, this next normal, whatever we want to call it, I'm laser beam focused on how do I retain the right talent? Right. Mm-hmm. How do I manage mm-hmm. my risks, build mm-hmm. a wall around it, get rid of that risk, mm-hmm. save money, make money. Right. And to create a business that has some level of resiliency. And that's all you're talking about, quite frankly.
Right.
And you're not saying it from, you know, I mean, everything's an asset.
Yes, everything's an asset. And I'm glad that you broke it down, because in my books, it actually comes down to two things. It comes down to what level of performance you're trying to get out of your assets, which aligns with it's a part of value, it's not all of value. And then the other part is what risks are you trying to mitigate? And I like to leave cost and finances out of it to the end, because cost and so on can't be directly controlled. So all costs are related in a business such as an asset-dependent business. Costs are related to either trying to deliver performance or trying to mitigate risks. Where I think we misstep a lot in organizations is that we don't take a wide enough approach to risks. And it's one of the lessons that's coming out of COVID. So in asset management, you know, I look at risk in a three-dimensional way. First of all, there is things, we call them external threats. You can do something about it, but you didn't create it. The company didn't create it. The assets didn't create it.
How about an example of that is this COVID-19?
Exactly.
Nobody had it in their business continuity plan that there was a global pandemic and everything would shut down.
Exactly. There is COVID-19, which we can see. However, there are other things like your regulators. There are things related to laws changing, those things that you can't do anything about, climate change. You didn't create any of those things. Your assets didn't create it, but yet your assets and the organization itself have to build resilience against them. Yeah. And then we have the second dimension risks now that are created by the organization. So this has to do with lines of defense of the organization not being in place, missing systems, missing procedures, incorrect application of talent, incorrect ways of doing things. So those kinds of risks are created by the organization, and they're not specific to any type of assets, and they can only be fixed by looking at systems, processes, and culture. So that's risks that are created by the organization.
Yeah.
And then number three are the risks now that are created by the assets themselves. Usually those risks relate to risks of failure. Now, if you think about making money and saving money, then risks, managing risks properly, have to do more with saving money. There's a way to capitalize on risks. We call that opportunities, which would allow you to make money. But for the most part, when we talk about risks, we are talking about how we preserve value, and hence how we preserve capital within the business. The reality of some of this, if we look at things like safety and the environment too lightly, then we miss out on two very important liabilities that we could run into later that could become financial liabilities. As a matter of fact, there is a lumber company, I think, that in January did not have its operating license renewed, and it was closed down somewhere here in Canada. So you have to always be considering all the aspects of risks in that multidimensional manner, so that you know what the asset is supposed to respond to. So if it's climate change, what should we be doing to the assets now to make it more resilient to increase flooding, increase risks of fire, what should we be doing to the assets to protect it and to build the resilience of the business? Because in asset dependent companies, we deliver value through the assets.
All right. Listeners, there are three components right here. Risk management, resilience. I'm taking that one. I'm running with that one.
I love
it. That's right. Number one, let's talk a little bit about those external risks, things that mm-hmm. you can't cover, but you got to be aware of. That's number one, external risks. Yeah. The risks that are generated by your organization.
Yes.
That means your failures from systems, processes, and cultures.
Yes.
Got to work on that most definitely. Yes. And then, of course, the risks of the assets and the failures of that. All of them neatly tied up with the risk management of resilience.
Correct. And when you think about it, you know, they have a saying that everything that rottens from the inside out.
Yeah.
So what it's
true.
So what it means is that within the organization, you have two dimensions of the risks that need to be managed very carefully.
Yeah.
And so we're very good at seeing like the risk of failure, but we're not very good at seeing like the organizational risks. Because that is about who we are as a people, how we work together, what systems we have in place, how we fortify the three lines of defense for the organization. The external threats are those now that you didn't create them. The assets didn't create them. The companies didn't create them. But yet you must respond to it. Otherwise, you will go under. And they could be anything. So usually if you're looking at that and you use standard business tools such as your PESL or opportunities and threat. You look at your political, environmental, legal, technological. Look at what's happening now with the onslaught of Industry 4.0. Like companies are just now caught, like there's in headlight, like, okay, I hear you. I know IoT is here, but what do I do?
On Monday, pre COVID-19, everything was like 2 to 5 years out. Tuesday, when COVID-19 decided that it wanted to flip the switch, then all of a sudden everybody's like, I need a digital journey. I need a digital solution. I need a digital something that helps me see what's going on. And you're absolutely, and so, you know, you brought up a good point. First off, there's a couple of things. Rich with content here, folks. is we always talk about it, always gets down to people, doesn't it?
Yes.
All of this stuff is fine and dandy. Yeah. You can physically, you know, you got your assets, you got the, it gets down to the people and how the people react to all of those particular risks. Now, with that said, COVID was, there's a challenge on one side and everybody's feeling it. That's without a doubt heard it. Definitely. Yes. But the positive side is the fact that people are truly focused on what is important. Now, all of a sudden, when we start talking about asset management, it comes from the perspective of true, I want to know and I want to have insights and I want to be able to execute with a sense of purpose and focus, right? And it's sort of, it's an interesting mental transition. No, I don't want to hang out by that water, the watering hole. I want to come over here and talk about solutions. And it's been really good. With that said, and we talked about the resiliency, you know, what does that mean?
Right.
Tell us, you know, you want to talk about a resilient career. What does that look like?
You know, it's really interesting to think about resilience, because when I spoke with Dawn and she kind of talked about like coming out of this and like kind of like a phoenix coming out of the ashes.
Good analogy. So, I like the word picture.
Yeah. so when you think about this, how can you have a career that is timeless? It's not dependent on a particular company. It's not dependent on an industry. How can you develop that kind of career? So it's a multiplicity of things. It's complex. But I like the graphic that you put up. So I'm gonna just use some elements from that. I won't go deep into everything because that is the focus of my keynote speech. that I'm really looking forward to.
Are you planting the seeds of anticipation?
Yes.
Like, I'm just going to skirt along. And then, but if you want the full story, you've got to get to Accelerate. And
that's
hear
right. That's right.
All right. Well, whatever so works.
Another reason that I chose this particular topic is because it is the most common question that I get from people. Believe it or not, the most common question is not, what is asset management? The most common question is associated with people's career. What should I be doing to improve my career? What certifications should I be taking? That's the kind of question that I get more often than not. So I always start people off with, what do you want? This is your one life. You can't spend your life living Suzanne, living Scott, living anybody else. It's good to have mentors.
You don't want the Scott side. You might want the Suzanne side, but not, trust me, listeners, don't go down that. Aim higher.
Oh, you're cracking me up. So I try to get people to focus on, if you were to have your dream career, what would it be? So if you're able to define that for yourself, then we can then map out a path of education, certification, and experience to get there. Now, I had somebody really, I consider now that I'm 43, I consider somebody who's 23 to be like really young. And he reached out and he wanted to know about certifications. I'm like, dude, first try to get your base qualification to enter the market. Then when you get your base qualification, chase the thing called experience. You need quality experience, but you also need quantity of experience. You need that experience so that in later life, you can stand on it. When you get your certification, you have something behind it and underneath it to present to people. And so I try to focus, especially younger people, on get some good experience. You need multidimensional experience. You need experience, deep-seated experience in something. So there needs to be something in your career that you know really well.
Mastery. Then, you're talking mastery of that.
Mastery of it.
And
if you listen to, for example, like Malcolm Gladwell, when he spoke about the 10,000 hours, you know, you need to know something really deep. Then you need to also know related things. You may not know them as deep, but you need to know what they are, because nothing works by itself in an organization. So if you were to go to an organization and say, let's get an asset management system going, you need to know that there are cultural aspects to it. You need to know that there are financial aspects to it. You need to know that if the company is unionized, it's a different kind of culture than if it's not unionized. Right. So you need to know these related things. You need to know probably about quality management. So in other words, what I'm saying is, when you get deep into what you know, try to also get cross-disciplinary experience. And that comes from project work. It comes from deliberately opening up yourself to all kinds of opportunities. And, you know, we started off with you asking me about where I'd been and what I'd done. Among the things I hate to do is to talk about myself, but I've been fortunate to have gotten some experience that I really took. One of them was that...
Unfortunately, this is a podcast about you. Whether you like to talk about yourself or not, it's about you. So don't hold back. Nobody wants to hear about me.
Oh, you're killing me.
Continue.
What... So among the experiences that I've had that led to, I ended up having, so far I've had like 5 different careers and I've loved all of them. But I had the opportunity for a couple of years to join an HR department as an HR business partner dealing with capacity building. And people would say, but you're an engineer. Why would you take that? And did you go and soften your engineering self by going into HR? And the end result is that I didn't know these many years later that I would be a consultant going into people's organizations now to tell them about how they can implement different types of systems, and realizing the importance of culture and then how to integrate that into my work. So in other words, if you're 23, I would prioritize, I can't tell anybody what to do, but I would prioritize good quality experience over certification. And then when you've had some amount of experience, come back and do certification. A lot of people are doing it the other way around, and they're finding that they don't get as much value out of their journey.
No, that's interesting. That's sage advice. I mean, I agree with you 100% on that. What I hear, the themes that I hear from your conversation is that there has, me personally, because it's about me now,
is, go for it.
is the passion for learning, right? Yes. And yes. A desire to learn.
Continually.
And there's no reason not to learn, because there's people like you and others. There's a stinking World Wide Web, man, and it has a lot of great insights into how to. But I like the quality versus versus quantity, but quality experience. I think that's just a fascinating. It's always people.
Yeah, it is really important. Always people. So then you mentioned people, and it's so important that everyone understands that you deliver nothing by yourself in an organization. So you could be the brightest person. If you don't have the ability to collaborate with other people and collaborate multifunctionally. So you have to collaborate with people who know more than you, who don't know what you know, who know other things than what you know.
Yeah.
You have to collaborate with people who are more powerful than you. You have to collaborate with people who are less powerful than you. And you have to do that in every part of every deliverable that you're trying to give to your organization or to somebody else.
Yeah.
So it's super, super, super important.
I don't want you to gloss over it. And you gave three supers in that, but I mean, I'll add another super, because I don't think, because we're just humans. We need to collaborate. You can't do what you need to do to truly be successful, whatever that looks like, in a vacuum. You have to collaborate with people who are, and for me, it's easy because it's a low bar. Collaborate with people who are much smarter than you. And I'm telling you, it's true. Come on. But it's true. You want to, you don't want to collaborate. I mean, a lot of just go getters, man. I always talk about being bold, brave, and daring greatly. Hang out with people who are bold and brave and dare greatly. See how your world changes.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why we got to hang out more often, Suzanne.
I love it. And you know what? I spend a lot of my time talking to people as well. And just, I'm telling you, I meet interesting people. I connect with them and I stay connected and I stay interested in their lives and what they're doing. And I find that I learn so much through these kinds of interactions. You know, today I connected with a gentleman by the name of Terry. And just out of the blues, he reached out and I'm like, yes, Terry. And he sent a very nice message. And then we took it further. And suddenly, we now have an extremely great interaction, you see. Yeah. And now Terry is in my network. I'm in Terry's network. So Terry becomes a resource I could lean on. I could bounce something off of.
Yeah.
And right away, today already, I've learned something from Terry. So, and we've only met like probably 20 minutes ago. So your ability to collaborate and attach yourself to resources, but also ingratiate yourself to people, because nobody owes you anything. The world doesn't owe you anything. So you have to develop that skill set to ingratiate yourself so that people find you pleasant enough to collaborate with as well.
I call that the beer factor. If I want to have beer with you, then you got a high collaborative factor, because you just, but it's interesting. You bring up an absolutely good point. And I think majority of people in their hearts want to help.
Yes.
And if you ask in a way that is sort of humbling, vulnerable.
Yes.
Say, I need help. Yes. You're going to have people busting down the door and saying, I'm here to help you. I'm here. Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah. And yeah, there, I mean, there are even angels walking amongst us who have dedicated themselves to helping people who are refusing help and who haven't said that they needed to be helped. Yeah. But, you know, we have another term for it in Jamaica. Again, we say the man who has raw meat seeks fire. So you're interested in getting someplace. You're interested in learning something. Seek out the people who have that knowledge or even can connect you with that knowledge. I had this summer, two young people just reach out to me and just say, Suzanne, I'd like to have a conversation about asset management and about careers and about life. And I'll make time for all of those kinds of conversation because in it as well, I am learning. And young people are truly a great source to learn from. If nothing else, us older folks know, stick on to them and suck their energy because they got tons of it.
Right. You know, I hate to call this quit. I mean, we can talk on, but clearly you're going to have this, you're going to have an expanded version of this conversation at Accelerate 20. Yes. Now, clearly you are also very active out on LinkedIn too.
Yes, I am. I am. So I have a page for myself. I also have a page for my company. And whatever activities I'm involved with, PMAC, the Asset Management Association here, local one here in Canada. Mm. And so we're promoting a few activities for them, like our conference that's coming up. And you talk about collaboration. We got a fantastic leadership team here in Winnipeg, but also grateful to all the speakers that we reach out to and we ask them to come and speak at our at the conference every year and essentially do it for free, you know? But this today is about Accelerate 2020. Yes. And I am super, 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 super happy to be collaborating.
All right, there's four supers in that one. So you can tell that's pretty super.
Super.
All right, listeners. Her name is Susan Greeman. Now let's make sure that you got your pen and paper out here real quick. It's S-U-Z-A-N-E. First name, second name, G-R-E-E-M-A-N, and Greeman Asset Management Solution is the company. Yes. She's the head honcho, the cheese, the CEO, the president, an all-around great person of that fine organization out of Winnipeg. And she is speaking at Accelerate 20. It's a virtual conference. You got to go out to, I want to say, Fluke Reliability and find out more about that conference, because if you think that this was a great conversation, she's going to knock her dead at the conference.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's a relevant topic. A lot of people, just based on how many people have reached out to me over the last 2 years just to talk about career-related things, a lot of people would like to break that down a little bit, and I'm happy to have the opportunity to be able to do that, and happy that it aligns with Fluke's theme for the conference. So resilience, it's very important. Baby. Personally, professionally, yeah.
Yeah, you need it. Listeners, you need it, definitely. And a couple of topics that we got to be collaborative, innovative, educate, right? You got to do all of that. Do it. Do it yesterday. Yes. And then I think I want to include tenacity. You can't give up. You got to be tenacious. No. And you got to do it with a sense of speed and purpose. Yes. That's what Susan's all about. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah.
She's bold, she's brave, and she dares greatly.
And every single day that you're here is another opportunity to try again.
Look at that, man. I'm ready to conquer the world. Look at me. I'm a better person because of you, Susan.
Oh, my goodness.
I am. All right. Thank you. Really appreciate you joining on the Industrial Talk and talking to the listeners about all those wonderful topics. Remember, listeners, go out to her stat card on LinkedIn. Find her. If not, it's going to be out on industrialtalk.com. And I don't want to hear you have to say, I can't find Susan. Well, you're not trying hard enough. Thank you for joining there, Susan.
Thank you so much. I had an amazing time, Scott, as always. You made me laugh, made me happy.
All right, listeners, we're going to wrap it up on the other side. I'm going to give you all the contact information for Susan and much, much more. So stay tuned.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, she's passionate, right? Susan's passionate about reliability. Susan's passionate about helping you succeed. Susan is just, she is a passionate professional. Talk about pep. Talk about excitement. Talk about just a desire. She's got a big heart. That comes from a big heart. All the way up from the Great White North up in Canada. Fun conversation. Reach out to her. Go out to her LinkedIn profile, which will be at industrialtalk.com. On this particular podcast, you'll find all of the information that you need to be able to get in contact with her, because you will not be disappointed. All right. Again, I do not want you to miss this. Not one bit of it, because these are professionals that you've got to listen to. That is Accelerate 20. That is November 17th through the 19th. It is all virtual, so there's no excuse. Go out there. Click on I Want to Attend. You will not be disappointed. Another great interview right around the corner. Love what you guys do. Thank you very much. Be safe. We'll be back shortly.